This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
6:11 in the morning. Let's go to New Hampshire, where Andrea Darlis is standing by. Good morning to you.
And good morning. We are live from New Hampshire. The snow has tapered. That's the best news.
So is it going to snow there today? Is it going to affect turnout?
I don't think it's going to affect turnout. It really snowed yesterday and last night just ahead of the Trump rally.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that would deter people from going, but it did not. He had thousands of people packed in the Verizon Wireless Center. And it was crazy, Stephen. The snow has started to taper now. I mean, there's some light flurries, but driving was pretty bad last night. I said, remind me never to complain about the city of Chicago and snowplows again.
Well, I would think New Hampshire could handle it. It snows there 8 months of the year.
You would think so as well. It just came down so quickly and so fast. I don't think they got ahead of it. So driving was pretty treacherous last night. But all the parking lots were full. This was the only rally that I attended, Steve, where you had to pay to park.
I don't understand the fascination. Look, I get it. You're in New Hampshire. You don't see a lot of famous faces. You get to go see famous Donald Trump and Ivanka. And by the way, Ivanka, what is she, 12, 13 months pregnant now?
Yeah, Ivanka looks phenomenal. She is due in 2 weeks, and he, of course, brought her up on stage last night and said that, he wants her to have the baby in New Hampshire, and then if she had it tonight, he would certainly win New Hampshire, and the crowd went crazy, of course. But, yeah, she was there, and then his sons and Melania made an appearance as well. Melania actually spoke for a few minutes. For a few seconds, I should say.
In English?
In English. She's stunning. Stunning woman. She's mm-hmm. beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the future first lady, of course, got the crowd all hyped up.
Right. Were you there for the cursing or was that a different rally?
I was actually starting to leave when I did hear the cursing.
All right. Now, this is something that someone in the crowd yelled and he repeated, or is this something he said?
It's something someone in the crowd said and he repeated it. And then he said the media, he was really ripping the media yesterday, saying they got all over him the first time because he didn't defend someone who said something negative against President Obama. So he said, I'm reprimanding you in public. I'm reprimanding you right now. And then, of course, he said the word.
But I thought it was in regards to Ted Cruz.
It was. He called.
All right, so he called Ted Cruz. Is it the P word?
Mm-hmm. It's the P word.
All right. So, look, we're all relatively grown up here. So instead of playing around with this, I'm going to actually say the word.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing that you need to remember is this guy wants to be president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll tell you, I should curse less. I curse a lot, mostly at work. I'd like to curse less, and I'm trying to curse less, but I don't know that I've ever stood up in front of a crowd that wasn't a stand-up comedy club
mm-hmm.
where I cursed.
I've
never stood up, for instance, at I do 20 charity functions a year. I never stood up in front of a charity crowd and said, give me your money, P-words.
Right.
There's just certain things you don't do. And just out of respect for the office you're running for, I don't think you say the word pussy.
I was absolutely floored when he said it. It was a woman who shouted out from the crowd. He repeated it. And then he did this whole grandstanding thing of, telling the crowd, what am I going to do with you people? The crowd, of course, ate it up. They loved it.
I don't know. But the crowd that ate it up, are they professional wrestling fans? I don't understand it.
What was interesting about this crowd is that I would say half, maybe 60% were very supportive of Trump, holding the signs saying he's going to change America, going crazy.
No, he's not.
The other 40%, Steve, which I found very interesting because I interviewed a lot of people last night, and they said they were going to, and good for them, they were going to all the candidates' rallies on both sides because there were enough of them over the past 48 hours, and they wanted to just make an intelligent decision. Many even said that they didn't even know who they were going to vote for if they were going to even declare Democrat or Republican until they walked into the polls today here in New Hampshire.
There's a lot of things you could say about Ted Cruz. That's not one of them. I don't even understand the insult. He's dishonest. He's disingenuous. His friends, quote, friends from college, they'd rather elect a cabbie than him. His roommate from college said, I'd pick someone out of the phone book before I'd want him to be president.
Mm-hmm.
Nut. There's a lot of words you could say about him. I don't even understand that insult.
I don't either. Actually, Ted Cruz won a precinct. Three precincts are already in New Hampshire. He won Millsfield this morning. Again, these are very small communities. He defeated Trump 9-3. And then in Dixville Notch, the very tiny town of population 9, their voting was done in less than an hour. And it was kind of neat how they did it. They did it on a whiteboard. you know, like with a magic marker.
I'll see you come in and go, Kasich.
Yes.
And then they write it down.
And then they do a tally number. And Kasich and Bernie were both the winners.
Yeah. Governor Kasich, by the way, has to do very well today, as do the other governors. All right, we'll check back with you in a bit. You got the big story at the bottom of the hour.
Sounds good.
Where will you be going out this morning?
I'm going to go to one of the polling places, too, because apparently the snow is tapering, as I said, and they line up very early. Polls, the polls officially open here in Manchester at 6. The earlier communities, they were open at midnight. So they're open now. It's 7:17 our time, 6:17 your time. So the polls are open. I'm going to try and hit a polling place and talk to some of the people in line. And I have a feeling many will still be undecided until they walk in.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who have said, I'll make up my mind once I go in the booth.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Andrea Darlis live from New Hampshire with our friends from ABC News Radio. More from her coming up. Oh, I forgot candidate Jim Gilmore. Yeah, I know you did too. People chiming in, too, on Derek Rose and General Soreness, which some people are saying was a Star Wars character. Yeah. Let me go to Nick DiGilio standing by now. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
I love General Soreness. I have the action figure right in front of me.
You know, you're 50. You're 50.
I'm 50. I'll be 51 in July.
Don't you have General Soreness most of the day?
Yeah, you know what's really funny is, like, I hurt my back. You know how?
No, I don't.
I stood up.
You know what? I had the same problem on Sunday. I got out of bed. The most dangerous thing you can do, get out of bed and stand up.
I'm with you, man.
Hurt my back. At 6:23, Star Wars gets to how much money?
Worldwide, $2 billion.
Boy, that's a lot of money.
It
that's
is.
That's a
In
lot
America,
of money.
In America alone, $906 million in less than a month, or 2 months, less than 2 months.
Is that the fastest it's ever happened?
Fastest it's ever happened. Now, there are three films that have gone over the $2 billion mark.
Oh, I got them for you. I got Titanic, Avatar, and this.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I'm assuming that, that James Cameron is angry. Because, you know, he didn't direct The Force Awakens so that he could have all three of the top, you know, grossing movies of all time.
I don't understand the Avatar thing. I never have, because nobody walks around talking about Avatar. Nobody has Avatar uniforms. Nobody
right.
throws Avatar theme parties. People don't dress up like Avatar characters in Halloween. And if they do, they're made fun of.
How did that movie
make $2 billion?
Steve, I can't agree with you more. I am eternally baffled by the popularity of Avatar. And it's the only movie, and I've said this a million times when I first reviewed it all the way through till now, you know, 6 years later, it's the only movie I've ever seen that was written by a drunk monkey.
And that's true.
Not just a regular monkey, a drunk monkey, because right. a regular monkey could have written a better script.
Right. This monkey was clearly liquored.
He was loaded. But I don't see, and you're absolutely right. I mean, the movie made a ton of money, but, you know, poll people and ask them, hey, what's one of the greatest movies you've ever seen? I bet you no one would ever mention Avatar.
Yeah, and without all the marketing and the cult phenomena that goes with it, normally a movie couldn't come anything close to this. And
yeah.
It's been 6 years. Are they talking about a sequel?
Oh, yeah, he's working on two of them. And he just announced that he wants to make them perfect so they're not going to come out for another year and a half or two.
Well, that's good because, you know, the heat, the fever, the Avatar fever, I'm sure will hold.
Maybe the blue people will look like the puppy monkey babies.
They already did, didn't they?
They kind of did with the tail going on and the blue and the weird faces and ugh.
If you ever went to Blue Man Group and you walked out and went, I don't know what happened, but I had a good time, that's way better than going to Avatar.
Yeah, you know, when I
and you had
Avatar,
the blue people there, too. So if you like blue people, you could go to the Blue Man Group and you're going to have a good time.
You have a good time. You won't know what's going on, but you have a good time. Whereas with Avatar, you walk out and you go, I don't know what the hell that was, but I didn't have a good time.
That's the clear difference. It's the absolute thing. By the way, did the movies make any money this weekend?
I'll tell you what, this is the second week in a row that outside circumstances have really affected the box office. This week, the Super Bowl really cut in to your box office this week. Hail Caesar, which was only the sixth movie that the Coen brothers have made that got a wide release. Most of their movies don't get the big wide release. They've been making movies for 30 years, and this is only their sixth film that was released wide on a Friday.
And they promoted the hell out of it.
It made $11 million.
And, wow, that is awful.
Yeah, it's terrible. And it made $11 million, and the reaction to the movie has been negative. So this thing, I think, is going to turn out to be a pretty big bomb. But the box office got hit this week because of the Super Bowl, and last week the East Coast was snowed in, and so now it's 2 weeks in a row now that the box office got hit. Now this week they're hoping for a pretty big weekend because it's Valentine's Day, and there's a Nicholas Sparks movie that's out right now, and there's another female-driven romantic comedy coming out called How to Be Single on Friday, and they're hoping that that brings the box office back up. But their number one movie of the week was Kung Fu Panda 3, which made $21 million, which is about, now its total is about $40 million less than the first one made at this time.
I thought the Hail Caesar movie had decent reviews, no?
I wasn't crazy about it. I was massively disappointed with it. I thought the first, 40 minutes was great, brilliant, and contains one of the funniest scenes in movie history, in my opinion. There is a scene in this movie where Ralph Fiennes is trying to direct this inexperienced actor to do a costume drama when all this guy has done has been basically a glorified stuntman in old-time Western movies. And at the studio's insistence, Ralph Fiennes is this very pretentious costume drama film director in the 50s. At the studio's insistence, they make him cast this guy in the movie. And there's a scene where they're trying to shoot this scene, and they do a bunch of takes, and he's trying to give him notes, and he's trying to tell him how to do the, and giving him line readings. I'm telling you, Steve, I was tripled over, if that's possible. I was tripled over with laughter, crying. It was one of the funniest scenes I've ever seen. But that's in the first 40 minutes of the movie, and then it all kind of, it all kind of falls apart. Now, the critics were okay with it, but the exit polls for people who actually, go out and spend $12 on the movie have been negative. So.
Yeah, Coen Brothers, I mean, they generally, everything. Fargo. People, they hated Fargo. I don't know how you hate Fargo, but people hated Fargo.
They make very, and they still do. They've been making movies for 30 years, which is amazing to me because, Blood Simple came out in 1985. Yeah. I mean, that's just amazing to me.
Well, they're very weird. They're very weird fellas. They're very, very different.
They are,
All right, you got a plug for Your Life?
Well, I guess Scarface coming up on the 20th. The big screening of Scarface is coming up on Saturday the 20th. It's our big Saturday night. Most of my screenings take place on Tuesday, but Saturday night on the 20th of February, we're showing Scarface on the big screen. Al Pacino, great film. Cuban sandwiches and mojitos will be served. It's at the Movieco Theater in Rosemont. It's only $10 to get in. You can get your tickets at movieco.com. And that's coming up. And also, I just want to mention really quickly on my show Friday morning, from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. It is my 18th, if you can believe this, my 18th annual anti-Valentine's Day show.
Oh, good for you. Yeah. Good for you. Nobody hates Valentine's Day quite like Nick.
That's right. And we're going to be playing sad songs. We'll be telling breakup stories. I'm encouraging people to call in. And as you know, Friday is Fly Jams Friday, so all the Fly Jams will be heartbreak songs.
Oh, that's great.
So my anti-Valentine, if you want to jump in and text us at 312-981-7200 now, with your worst dates, worst first dates, greatest breakups, send it to us now. We'll read them all on Friday.
You're going to read all the text from 7 a.m., from 6:30 in the morning?
No. Yeah, sure. They said, no, they can send them in now, and Dan will get them.
Okay,
my producer, Dan.
He'll go back. All right. Yeah. Well, we're kind of in the middle of a text thing here, but whatever. I mean, it's cool. All right. Hold on.
Text now. Okay. Don't text now. Wait till. All right. I'm sorry.
Maybe the social media route, Nick, we can go that way. Yeah.
You want to call in later and do a contest at your house or something around 8?
I broke your show. I apologize.
All right. Hold the line. It's 6:30. Make it 6:31. We get back with Andrea in New Hampshire next at 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Thank you. Kid of the Week. We do it every week, and it's an opportunity for you to talk about kids doing something great. Not enough good news in the world about kids, and that's why we do Kid of the Week. We go live to Kevin now here in the studio so Kevin can tell you how you could tell us about a kid that we should know about.
Easiest way, go to WGNradio.com/contest. You go to our main page. There's a link that says contest on the top right. Click on that. You'll see a big old icon that says Steve Cochran's Kid of the Week. Click that, and there's a real easy form you could fill out. You put the nomination's name in and tell us why they should be the Kid of the Week. That'll get sent our way. Or you can reach out on via email, stevecochranshow@wgnradio.com.
And Ray and Raymond Chevrolet, and, you know, it's Auto Show Week, and we're happy to say Ray and Raymond Chevrolet are back on for Kid of the Week. So that's a good thing. Ross, explain what Food Fight is before we go to our caller.
So Food Fight, out in Naperville, some high schoolers got together and were really troubled by hunger, children going hungry. You know, Naperville being the area that it was, they were really troubled by the difference in their lives compared to some kids in different parts of the world. So they got together, and the simple idea was just to pack lunches, you know, pack food for kids. And that turned into this concert, Food Fight Benefit Concert, which is out in Naperville, that Dimitri, Celeste, and the rest of the crew there can tell you all about.
And Kiva.
And Kiva, yeah.
Dimitri joins us on the phone now from Naperville, I assume. Good morning, Dimitri.
Hey there. How you doing, Ross? I mean, Steve, how you doing?
That's fine. Ross runs the show. And Dimitri, where do you go to school?
I go to Naperville Central High School.
And what year are you there?
I'm a senior.
And you're there with Kiva and Celeste?
Kiva is actually homeschooled, and Celeste goes to Matilla Valley.
Okay. All right. Well, at any rate, we want to make sure that people know that Kiva and Celeste are big time involved in this as well. So the concert that Ross just mentioned, when is it? Has it happened? Will it happen?
It has not happened yet. It's on Saturday, February 27th. The doors open at 6:30, and it starts at 7 p.m. It is at the Yellow Box in Naperville, Illinois. The address is actually 1635 Emerson Lane. And this is our second time doing this event.
And how many people? That's a big room. How many people do you expect for that? Do you sell it out?
We are still selling tickets. We're hoping to expect upwards of 300, 400, 500.
That's great.
We're not sure yet, but we want this entire community to be a part of this and be a part of what we're doing.
And you're hoping for is a fire hazard. You'd like it to be a fire hazard.
Exactly. And they can fit 1350 in there. So
now a $10 ticket will feed how many people?
It doesn't feed a certain amount of people, but it feeds 55 meals. And those 55 meals go across the sea, and they get to feed people that are not experiencing daily meals like people around our community do. These are meals that feed people that need it. And so 55 meals is big for what we do.
Food Fight starts at the beginning of each school year, raise money through a bunch of fundraisers, this being one of them. And you have an annual dinner. Listen, we want to – this is the type of thing, and I know you agree with this, Dimitri. We'd love other schools to get involved with this. You know, kids listening, parents forcing their kids to listen to me this morning. We'd like them to think about this as a great way to help your own communities, right?
Absolutely, yes.
What's the website?
Go to www.foodfighting.org. And there you'll find all of the information, and there's even an FFBC 2016 page.
By the way,
you'll find more information about the concert.
By the way, Dimitri, you're probably not old enough to know this, but you don't need the www anymore. It's just foodfighting.org.
No www.
Meet me after. I'll explain Facebook to you. foodfighting.org. It's a really cool thing that you guys are doing, and I know Celeste, who, as you said, is the Matilla Valley Food Fight leader, and Kiva as well. I work very hard on this, and you take a bunch of kids who, you know, might not necessarily come from privileged backgrounds, but they don't have to worry about what they're eating tonight. Kids who know where their next meal is coming from, getting together, taking time out of your teenage schedules when you all have stuff to do, and you all, you know, by way of a cliche, are wrapped up in your own lives, caring about other people, and doing a great thing. So I'm proud of you guys.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
All right.
And one of the things I thought was really cool about it, Dimitri, like you were involved pretty early on, right?
Yeah, freshman year, sort of. Yeah.
Right. And now you've kind of brought Celeste and Kiva in. You know, these are people who are going to take it after you graduate and keep this thing going long after you're done.
You got to pay it forward.
Exactly.
Yeah. What are you doing next year for school?
I am sort of deciding on Olivet Nazarene University, and that's in Bourbonnais. But
good.
you know, I'm going to stick around close.
Oh, it's a great school, dude. Yeah. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to, you know what we should do? I mean, since you're giving all the food away, why don't we send them a bunch of Lou Malnati's pizza? Right? We'll do that. We'll take care of you guys. We'll get you Lou Malnati's pizza for all being kids of the week.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right, man. Hold on. That's Dimitri Morris. And I don't know if you noticed, Kev, sometimes I have to explain social media and the internet to the youngsters.
Yeah, normally after the show, you, Ross, and I all sit down and you give us some pointers on social media tips.
Yeah, I have like all the millennials sit in a semicircle around me, and then I'm the oracle of the internet. And then I go and I explain what Oracle is, amongst other things, on the internet. Yeah.
That's scary. So. Can I come? I need to learn a few things.
Yeah. But yeah. Don't be bringing your W's. Okay?
That's good.
It's 6:47. We'll check back in with Andrea in New Hampshire in a second. First, back to Mary. John DeCosta is here this morning as well. And then later this morning, somebody from Dixville Notch is going to be on. Dixville Notch, first in the nation to vote. So we'll have somebody from Dixville Notch. Oh, and Hochberg. David Hochberg later, talking about your money and your house and stuff.
With a great surprise for Mr. Hochberg.
He has a surprise or we have one?
We have one for him.
Oh.
I shouldn't say we. I should say the musical director of the show does.
John, you have a surprise for Mr. Hochberg?
Yeah, I think it is a surprise. I don't
know.
Nobody's
to you,
a surprise to me.
Nobody's more surprised than John. All right.
Right.
You got 2 hours, John. Good luck.
Son of a gun.
$653 is live in New Hampshire. So the people you were talking to at the Trump rally last night, did they seem insane?
No, honestly, Steve, they really were. No, you know, and really so many people I talked to were there because they were undecided.
Yeah.
And they wanted to see him speak. And I kind of did too, actually. You know, I wanted to see him.
Well, it's a spectacle.
He's so unpredictable.
Right? It's a spectacle. It's a happening. It's an event.
It really was. I felt like I was, well, of course, I walked into, you know, a sporting event center, the Verizon Wireless Arena, and it was like a sporting event. I mean, they were selling food and just like you'd go to a Hawks game. Not as rowdy, of course. Well, maybe at the end it got a little rowdy. Kind of similar.
And so Trump spoke and Ivanka spoke and Melania spoke. Was there anything else? Was Beyonce there? Did they do formation?
No, they didn't do any fireworks. He spoke a lot longer than I thought he would. He was a little bit late. I thought he would talk maybe for 10, 15 minutes. He talked for a long time. I was live blogging most of it. And he did have Melania come up and Ivanka, and he referenced his sons. And, you know, obviously there was a lot of grandstanding. Saying
what? At a Trump rally?
Exactly. A lot of grandstanding. You know, what I'm finding interesting is that so many people from overseas, especially Europe, are coming here just to watch the process. I talked to two sisters last night, Steve, from the Netherlands, and they are both school teachers, and they brought a group of students over here just to watch the process. I mean, obviously, they can't vote.
Well, that's kind of cool, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, they take such an interest. And
you should introduce the two sisters to the two Danish guys you met when you got there.
The guys from Denmark? Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, the guys from Denmark called Trump a clown and said he's all about the sideshow.
Mm-hmm.
But they were just, they said, you know what, people love him. He has such an appeal, especially overseas. And it's probably because of Hollywood and is the entertainment scene. And he did make this reference, though, Steve. Trump said he's, of course, shocking, touting himself and his business deals. And he says
I don't know if you know, he's got a huge company. He's got a huge company with a lot of employees.
Well, he's building not a Trump Tower, but a Trump building on Pennsylvania Avenue. In D.C. So he said, no matter what happens, he's going to end up living on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
Former Mexican President Felipe Calderon yesterday said, and I'm only slightly paraphrasing here, we're not paying for his stupid wall.
Oh, he brought up the wall many, many, many times. He really was just on fire. He said, we're going to repeal Obamacare. Mm-hmm. He brought up Bo Bergdahl and called him a dirty, rotten traitor.
Yeah.
He says, we are going to build that wall. It's going to happen. It's going to be our wall.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all over it. Pat Brady will join us after 7, and we'll talk some more about what you've seen, who you've spoken with, who you've seen speak, and if there's any hope for America. Voting is underway in New Hampshire. Later on, it's either the Chamber of Commerce or the mayor of Dixville Notch that we'll have on. I'm not sure. It might be the same guy. There's only 9 people in that town.
9 people, yeah.
So we'll get that on later as well. And Coach Q coming up later as well. I suggested, Andrea, and this is actually a really good text from one of our listeners. Not that I was surprised to get a really good text from one of our listeners, but this, I think, sums it up. So this country claims they want to stop bullying and they're supporting Trump. Maybe we don't mind bullying.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good point.
You know, and again, I want to reiterate, too, that a lot of people who were at that rally last night, it was packed, were undecided. There's more independent voters in New Hampshire than Democrats and Republicans combined.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, they can walk into any polling place. I'm going to be at a polling place for our big story later on this morning, which is a couple of miles away. But they can walk in to any polling place and choose a primary ballot for any party. So, and again, many said that they will decide when they get in the voting booth. It's very, you know, I know they're saying Sanders and Trump are going to walk away with this, and I'm sure they will, but I think it's going to be closer for second and third places than people would even imagine.
And have you heard the names Kasich or Bush or Christie as you've been walking around?
You know, it's funny you say Kasich. I haven't heard any, I've interviewed no, not to say that there aren't Kasich supporters here, but I have not interviewed any of them. I haven't been able to find any of them. And when I was driving back in the snow last night, I saw this big truck, and it was kind of a hitch. You know how you get a U-Haul that you hitch on the back of a pickup? And it said Kasich on it. And I thought, oh, there's the first one. But I didn't want to stop and take a picture. Because I'm trying to put a
picture. You didn't want to run him off the road and go, I finally found a Kasich supporter?
I didn't want to slide off the road. There's a few Christie supporters, a few Bush supporters, but really there, it's such a wide margin between Rubio, Cruz, and Trump, and then the others.
And is Rubio, the folks didn't seem to matter that Christie caught Rubio in his repeat mode Saturday night?
I think that hurt him. I really do, Steve. I mean, when I first got here and I went, that was the first place I went to, the Rubio rally, because it was right by the airport when I arrived on Sunday. And there was a lot of support for him. But yesterday, it just was a lot of, it was unfortunate because, you know, he had a bad debate performance. He shouldn't have kept repeating everything. He obviously was not as prepared as he should have been. And I think that might hurt him a little more than 2 days
ago. Yeah, he got stuck on repeat at his speech yesterday again, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
By the way, I want to salute the listeners for coming through. We'll read some of the texts coming in. I said, look, if Trump is going to be cursing at candidates, why not curse at all the candidates? So we need better insults for all the candidates than the one Trump threw out last night for Cruz. Send in your insults for the candidates. These are the ones I can't read. I have the F word, the A word, the C word, the CS word, and the MF word all so far. So it seems like you're getting it covered. It's a minute before 7. We'll come back, get your news at 7 o'clock with Steve Grzanich next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
And before we get back to Andrea Dallas in New Hampshire, I'm going to bring in Pat Brady here. Let me go to John DeCoste, musical director for the Steve Cochran Show. And let's throw a couple of plugs in here. First off, how is your YouTube channel going?
Actually, it's doing very, very well. I'm quite proud of it. It's Today in DeCoste. And you can just go to www.
You don't need the W.
Just go to Today in DeCoste on YouTube. And we just put another video on today. So Diva, De Niro, and DeCoste was the title of today's.
All right. And what are give me a quick description of the other videos that are on there. There's one where you're trying to find the right remote.
When I'm trying to find the right remote, and I want my wife to come.
There's one where you're ironing.
I'm ironing,
there's
yes.
one where you're putting Legos together with a
Legos
little kid.
Legos together with a little kid who builds it very quickly. And we have Gymtastic comes out tomorrow.
Gymtastic.
Utterly Gymtastic is the next one.
All right. Did you put the Toast video up?
Toast video is there. Okay. Toast is there. And,
all right. Again, these are John DeCoste doing things that happen in everyday life. And what we're trying to do here is take the nonsense that's on the internet and YouTube and see if we can make John a YouTube star. And again, my goal, John, you know this. My goal is to make you a big enough YouTube star to get you off the show.
There's one I'm doing where I'm sitting next to Pat Brady on a radio show. Talking about the YouTube channel.
We should shoot that right now.
It's huge.
We should absolutely
It's huge.
All right, plug number two. We're going to be at the Wilmette Theater when?
That is March 26th. It is the Steve Cochran Morning Show Eggstravaganza. And it is the stand-up comedy debut of Andrea Darlis.
Andrea Darlis.
I might be stuck in New Hampshire for that.
Oh, you're starting to feel it, aren't you?
I'm starting to feel the nerves.
You're not feeling the burn. You're feeling the nerves.
Feeling the nerves.
She may not be there because of general soreness. So
that's right.
Keep that in mind. But that's the 26th of March. Tickets actually are going so fast, but Kevin Powell, Ross Cochran, myself, and Steve Cochran will all be on the show.
Why Will should Met we Theater. Do stand-up with those three of there?
Oh, we're not. No, I've got the popcorn concession. You're selling milk duds.
Yeah, that seems right. So when are we doing this? March 26th?
March 26th. You can go to...
I'm adding it to my calendar. Go ahead and talk.
Have we talked about this? You can go to willmettheater.com. That is their website to get tickets. Or you can call their box office directly at 847-251-7424. Steve Cochran's morning show.
What time is the show?
7 o'clock. 7
o'clock. All right, that's good.
7 o'clock. We may be adding a second one.
Oh, I don't know if that works.
Is Andrea really doing that? That takes some guts.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, thanks, Pat. Yeah, make me a little. Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to work.
I'll be there cheer for you. I won't heckle like I did Kevin.
Well, you're not invited. No, of course you're invited.
At 7:15, we'll come back and talk to Andrea about what she's seeing there and get Pat Brady in here, too, to give us the lay of the land. See, we thought, and I think it remains true, we're going to talk about the Democrat side of this thing today, but I think Bernie Sanders is going to have New Hampshire wrapped up in a walk. On the Republican side, Trump has big poll numbers, but there's so many candidates there, you just don't know that that's going to translate. So Pat will break down the Republicans here in just a second, and he's got a great Rubio impression where he just repeats the same thing every 2 minutes. Andrea Darlis in New Hampshire. Where is the media center that you're sitting in?
I am at the Radisson at the media center. ABC News, our friends from ABC News have a whole section of it. It's much bigger than the one in Des Moines because each media outlet has a floor. So Associated Press is next to us, and it's really a very nice setup.
And you're in Manchester?
I am in downtown Manchester.
And Manchester's famous for what?
Being Manchester.
All right, then. Pat Brady's here.
No, you know what? I'm on the campus of the University of New Hampshire, which is just beautiful, by the way.
That's the Flying Horned Frogs?
I don't think it's the Flying Horned Frogs.
I don't know.
It could be.
Pat Brady's here from Next Generation Strategies. What do you guys do there?
Lobbying and media relations.
Okay, and they can follow you on social media at Pat_Brady?
That's correct.
All right, look smarter than I look. So, Pat, let's go through the candidates here, and Andrea, chime in if you agree or disagree with Pat's take on these things.
Okay.
Starting with the end of the pack, Carly Fiorina, what happens today?
She'll be very low. She didn't get on the debate stage, which a lot of us, including me, think was a huge mistake, but 2 or 3%. She just doesn't have much going there. But she's actually been a pretty good candidate. She's one of the most articulate people on stage. So,
can she stay in?
You know what? If you're not running a real campaign, you can stay in forever. It's like Rick Santorum. You just get up on the stage and sell books or get money for your PAC. So, yeah. And she's got personal wealth. She can stay in probably as long as she wants to. But at a certain point, I think past this tonight or maybe South Carolina or Nevada, she'll probably be done.
I don't
see her staying in either. But, you guys, she has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. She has 8 stops today.
She is running around New Hampshire.
Yeah, she really is. I mean, I guess it's maybe a last-ditch effort, but most of the other candidates, you know, they're going to be visiting polling places, then their headquarters, and then primary parties tonight. But she's got 8 stops.
Dr. Carson, is he still trying to get on stage at the debate? Train wreck.
I felt bad for him. But
it wasn't his fault.
No, it wasn't his fault.
It was ABC's fault. They should have ABC and the debate host. Anyway, Dr. Carson says he'll stay in regardless today. Can you see that happening?
Yeah, he's got a base of evangelicals all over the country, and I think he'd stay in, particularly in South Carolina, which is more like Iowa. So, yeah, I would see him staying in.
I don't plan on leaving. It's to my day. I've combined Bill Clinton and Dr. Carson. I don't plan on leaving. I just have no energy. That's Dr. Carson and Bill Clinton. You know what that is? That's Dr. Clinton. That's my new impression, Dr. Clinton.
You know,
I think he stays in too. I do see him staying, and he incidentally just has a primary party tonight, 1 stop.
You know, Andrew, we saw this last week, and I'm wondering if you're seeing it again because I know he's been out there. But the former president really looks frail.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Oh, yeah, he really does. When we were at the rally in Lincoln, when we were in Iowa at the Lincoln High School, he did look frail.
Is his health okay?
I think so. He says he's doing a lot of diet and exercise. It didn't stop his charisma. I mean, because he spoke, he gave a great speech, very poignant speaker, and then he went out in the crowd and was taking pictures with everybody.
Hmm. Who's this fixer the Clintons have brought in?
The Clinton campaigns are famous for fixers. There's always a fix after they have a bad run. And David Axelrod, none other than David Axelrod, said sometimes maybe it's not the campaign, maybe it's the candidate.
Yeah, Axelrod yesterday said, hey, maybe it's you. Wow. And Hillary said that if they don't do well today, and if you, that the polls hold at all, they won't. They're going to look at everything in the campaign.
I think she's going to do better. I think she's going to, if she keeps it under 10, she can claim a victory. Remember when Bill, in 1992, when he made his comeback, he lost by 8 and basically claimed victory and got out of town.
Yeah, remember that speech? I guess I'm the comeback kid. Well, you lost by 8.
Doesn't matter. No one remembers Paul Tsongas.
Marco Rubio's third place, first place finish speech. In Iowa.
Well, too, the Clintons declaring victory before the votes were in.
Right, they had
that plane fired up at the airport and out of there before it was over.
All right, in reverse order, we did Carson fifth. I'm going to put fifth place. I'm going to give Cruz fifth place tonight. I think he drops that far.
I do, too.
And Cruz, give me your take on Cruz.
The state doesn't fit him well. It's 50% of the state doesn't affiliate with any religion versus Iowa, which I think is 65% evangelical. So it doesn't fit him very well.
What's Cruz's schedule, Andrea?
Cruz has a couple of things, actually, on his schedule today. He's got a diner stop and then a primary party this evening, tonight.
Can he go out during the day?
He's going to. Okay. All right. Now, here you guys will laugh.
Does someone have a stake they're going to drive through his heart?
No, but did you hear about the hecklers who were trying to perform the exorcism on him last night?
Yeah.
That was in Raymond, New Hampshire. Yeah. Those
were his old college frat buddies.
They were
his old staffers.
And he tried to. Well, the worst part is when he tries to joke about it or tries to be funny, and he said, "Oh, they must be from the Bernie Sanders campaign."
Well, he admitted early on the campaign that I'm not the guy you want to have a beer with, and I think he's proven that.
Again, his college roommate said, "I would pick anyone else in the world other than him." He said, "I'd pick somebody from the phone book." That's his college roommate. Fourth place tonight, I think, is Governor Christie. Christie's take, Pat Brady.
Had a good debate Saturday. I mean, he laid into Marco Rubio, which we've heard about for the last 2 days, but I think that hurt Rubio but didn't help him. I don't see and hear from the people I talked about that he has a lot of momentum, but he's been out there for 2.5 months, and as we talk about time and time again in New Hampshire, it's being on the ground shaking hands and asking for votes.
And what is Christie doing today?
Christie has quite a few stops on his list. He's going to be in Manchester at a polling place this morning, going to his headquarters. Then he's going to go to T-Bone's Great American Eatery. Kevin, that's a rib place.
Mm.
That's in Derry. Yes, insert comment there. And then he'll be in Salem and then Londonderry. And then he has a primary party this evening at 7 o'clock. So he's really crisscrossing the state.
I think third, fourth. Could be Bush Rubio or Rubio Bush. I think it could go either way. I think Kasich goes all the way to second, and I think that creep Trump somehow pulls it out by a small margin tonight. You disagree with any of that?
I will say this: as a prognosticator, I'm still waiting for my ambassadorship from President McCain. But I would say I think Trump way underperforms. He's at 30 right now. I think he comes in 23-24 and. Likely Kasich, maybe Rubio, might be as close as 21-22.
And there seems to be, and I'm not making this up, people, there seems to be a Bush push going on in the last 36 hours.
Yeah, the last poll had him in second. He's been there a long time. He's been running TV. I have more faith in the voters of New Hampshire and the country to actually look at a goof like Donald Trump that calls Ted Cruz the P word. This is a guy that dodged the draft.
Right.
And now wants to have torture be the policy of the United States of America, are going to actually vote for that guy for president.
Jeb Bush has nothing on his schedule today. He's just going to be in Manchester at a primary party this evening. And I disagree with you. I'm sorry, Pat. I think Trump is really going to win, I think, by a wide margin here.
Oh, they
God,
love
I
me.
Hope you're wrong. God, I hope you're wrong.
I think I'm going to be right.
What is Kasich doing today?
Let's see what Kasich has on his schedule.
Andrea's looking through the official New Hampshire program.
This isn't funny at all. He's not on. I have the official schedule from ABC News, and they detail every candidate. Kasich is not on here.
Well, they still think he's backstage.
I had to go to another site to find out where he does have quite a few stops today. He's going to be at the Red Arrow Diner this morning. in Manchester, very popular. Actually, I passed that yesterday on Elm Street, very popular breakfast eatery. Two polling locations, and then a watch party tonight in Concord.
And then Rubio's going to a clinic to see if he can get that repeat thing fixed that he's stuck on lately?
No, but something interesting about Rubio, and maybe Pat can speak to this, he is only, you know, they go to these polling places or wherever they go for the photo op, basically. But they're limiting press to Marco Rubio today.
Probably a good idea.
Is that like when they don't show you a movie before it comes out to the critics because they don't want the critics to review it? I don't know what that means.
I don't either. Then he has a watch party in Manchester, New Hampshire tonight, where I am.
And then does everybody bomb out immediately to head to South Carolina or Nevada?
Oh, Hillary Clinton's already there. No, I think that, yeah, they're going to be on their way to South Carolina. I think.
Oh, wait, now Saturday night are the Dems or the Republicans?
No, it's a week from...
it's the 20th.
The 20th. And usually it goes Tuesday, or in the past it's gone Tuesday and then the following Saturday.
But there's a week off.
There's a week off this time.
It's Saturday to Saturday, yeah.
The texters, Andrea, the cleanest insults that I can throw out this morning. This is from the Donald Trump using the word pussy on stage last night with Ted Cruz. I said, look, if you're going to insult him, let's go, audience. Who you got for everybody? These are the clean ones. Trump, wingnut. If anyone calls me a Republican, I know that's an insult. This is from the 773. Ted Cruz is Mr. Haney's son from Green Acres. He looks sort of like Ebb. Remember Ebb from Green Acres?
Absolutely. Still watch it.
Yeah. Trump's a chump. These, again, are the clean ones. 224, Trump is a gaping hole, thin lip, sphincter face.
Got a lot in there.
708, Chris Christie, a donut-eating fat ass. I'm editing as fast as I can. Trump is a dictator. Guess how they spelled that? Bernie's a leprechaun, and at the end of the rainbow, they promise you a pot of gold, but every time you get close, it disappears. That's a fair summation. And for Hillary Clinton from the 630, liar, liar, pantsuit on fire. 7:30, big story live from New Hampshire next on 720 WGN.
I've been positive. We've had, you know, 106 town hall meetings. People come, they laugh, they cry, they talk about the things that matter to them.
We're going to go to polling places starting right now. We look forward to flipping a few last-minute votes, which could mean the difference.
I hear we're going to do well, but the snow is out there. I don't know. What effect will the snow have? Will it have an effect? It can't have an effect.
Another pointless listener text. Keep these coming from the 630. Running late to work. you guys are fantastic. And a volunteer from, I think it was, I don't have it in front of me, Geyser and Associates, that wants to sponsor Wheel of Jackasses. At 7:48, before Andrea goes off and does a quick TV hit, and Pat Brady is here as well. Pat, and I get Andrea's perspective on this on the ground in New Hampshire. This new campaign, this campaign of bullying, this campaign of name-calling, we can't even categorize this as mudslinging. Does this have lasting, permanent effect, or are people going to be turned off enough by this that maybe we'll go back to respect at some point?
Well, we had the same discussion in Iowa where we asked the same question. Does a campaign of name-calling and not actually doing the groundwork, going out and shaking hands and talking to people like Governor Kasich talked about, he's been doing for the last month and a half, can Donald Trump defy the typical laws of electoral politics? I say no. It didn't work last week. In fact, the big turnout in Iowa last week, turns out, wasn't for Trump. It was to come out to vote against Trump. So we'll see if there's big turnout today. There might be people that really think the guy's an idiot, like I do, and come out and try to make sure that he's not the nominee.
Andrea, was there any way to decipher last night when you were at the Trump rally in New Hampshire how many people were there for the celebrity experience versus there to actually see if the guy had anything to say?
You know, surprisingly, first of all, I want to go back. Did you say respect before, Steve?
Yeah, that's
true.
That
was pretty funny.
I got to take that back, don't I?
No, you know, that's a really good question. I thought a lot of people would be there for the celebrity experience. There was a rumor that he was going to bring some bigwigs on stage. He had his family. You know, I guess you could argue that Ivanka and Don Jr. and Eric are stars now. And Melania even, too. But I really found that a majority of the people there they really liked Donald Trump. I mean, they were selling all kinds of stuff, you know, swag, hats and scarves and everything. People were just buying that up. And, you know, not just for souvenirs either. People really, really like him here. Sorry, Pat. But then again, you got the others who were the undecided, who wanted to just go and see what he had to say. He's a good speaker.
When you go, well,
Aside when he starts throwing out the insults.
When you go around to various places, like the Java Joe's of Des Moines and whatever the Red Hat Cafe or whatever the thing you said is in Manchester, when you go around to various places, you hear these pockets of conversation. And you hear people saying, well, I like Kasich because of this, or I like Bush because of that. Do you ever hear anybody say, I like Donald Trump because? Because all I have ever heard anyone say is, yeah, he says he's going to get stuff done.
A couple of people I talked to yesterday, there was this little cafe just actually across the street from where he had his rally, and I was talking to them, and people really, you know, like I said, people who I have talked to really like him. They don't see him as a political insider, strange as that may be, because of who he is, but they see him as a businessman who wants to shake things up. And I hear repeatedly, and this is going to make both of you cringe, but I hear repeatedly, well, he says the truth. He says what he wants.
I just don't understand it, Pat. I don't understand the disconnect.
Well, the thing is, it didn't work last week. We'll see if it works this week, and we'll see if it works in South Carolina. Long term, I don't think it works. But you know what? I've been wrong before. Once.
Donald Trump, and I think it's important for people to hear this, and the people of Iowa heard it, and the people of Iowa came through. Donald Trump doesn't care about you. He doesn't care. The people that connect most with Donald Trump are the people he would cross the street to avoid. Hardworking, blue-collar folks who are tired of the politics of not getting anything done. Trump is only there for Trump. And for people that are going to go, well, they're all in it for themselves. No. No, that's not the case. People get into this for a lot of different reasons, but there are people who can actually accomplish something. And then there's Donald Trump. And I promise you, Donald Trump got into this not dreaming in his wildest dreams he would ever be in the position he's in today. He doesn't care about anything other than what's going to make him happy. And the happiest he is when he gets on his plane and he flies back to the Trump Tower in New York.
I think Trump and Sanders are going to have this locked. But second, you know, I'm looking at a lot of these facts. Since 52, no Republican candidate has gotten the nomination without a first or second place finish here in New Hampshire. So second place will matter here.
Here's the thing about Bernie Sanders, and Bernie Sanders is just a crazy old hippie, but Bernie Sanders gets up in the morning, and I think Bernie Sanders actually believes what he says. Trump, not only does Trump not believe what he says, he only believes it for the tenth of a second that he says it, and then he remembers to say it a second time if it gets applause.
I think it was a New York Times Ed Board interview where he said, if my speeches aren't going well, I just say, hey, I'm going to build a wall,
right?
And it drives him. You know, the crowd crazy. So, but we'll see. But I've never seen where you don't do any ground game, you don't do any hand-to-hand combat in New Hampshire that you actually win.
All right,
I'm not saying he's not going to win, but I don't think it's going to be this big 10-15 point victory.
Andre's got to go do the thing with Channel 9. You're going to come back in on Thursday. We're going to break this down further.
I will be in Tucson with my oldest daughter.
You'll be in Tucson on Thursday. You're going to call us from Tucson, aren't you?
I will call you.
Yeah, I'm going to call us on Thursday.
Thank you. If his head has it exploded after tonight.
It might. Have fun. Be careful.
Take care, guys. And out, Steve, I'll be with you at a polling place at 8:30.
Excellent. Thank you. And Pat Brady, again, where do we find you?
Next Generation Strategies. Thank you.
And it's Pat_Brady on social media. It is 7:53. We're back with more on 720 WGN. Top of the show every morning. It's worth getting up because it's 6:10 a.m. First caller always wins whether they end up on the air or not. And part of the prize is given away today included a pair of tickets to the Chicago Auto Show February 13th through the 21st at McCormick Place, courtesy of Fifth Third Bank, member FDIC, an exclusive bank of the Chicago Auto Show. And all winners get a ChevyDriveChicago.com WGN Radio stainless steel travel mug and a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee, courtesy of your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. From the 224, Trump is an ass clown who is only in it for himself. Has everyone forgotten he filed bankruptcy years ago? He actually lost money running casinos. That is kind of a Copperfield magic trick, that you could run casinos and figure out a way to lose money, because usually the people that lose money in the casinos are the people that go into the casinos.
I'm really rich.
Yeah, I know you are. It's great. Speaking of pathological liars, we were talking about Hillary earlier and Trumpster. They found O.J. Simpson's white Bronco. You may remember June 17th, 1994, in the famous White Bronco chase. Maybe you're watching the miniseries now. And the Al Cowlings low-speed chase around Los Angeles. For the next 20-plus years, the 1993 Ford Bronco pretty much vanished. Well, it's been found in a garage in Northern California. This, according to our friend Deborah Norville in Inside Edition. It's today's Inside Edition. Jim Murray will report on a man who owns a car, who says it's only been driven 20 miles since then. I only drove it to church and back. But the White Bronco story on Inside Edition today, if you're interested. I've not seen the O.J. Simpson miniseries yet, have you?
No, I taped it, but I haven't watched it
yet. I keep forgetting it's on.
I kind of do, too. There's so much other stuff.
When are the original episodes? Are they Monday nights?
I think so, yeah.
Used to be so much easier before you millennials.
Nobody knows what time, what day anything is on anymore.
Just record it. Just set a series recording.
Yeah, I did that.
You still tape stuff, Mary?
Tape? Yes. Tape. Mm-hmm. I call it tape.
There used to be a system where it would be on when it was on and you watched it.
Oh, there still is.
Ridiculous.
And then you missed it and then you were mad.
There's a lot more of it now.
What else happened back in the day, Grandpa?
You give me 8-week-old Abigail, I can have these conversations. She won't question me. Not like you. They found O.J. Simpson's White Bronco. You may remember June 17th, 1994, in the famous White Bronco chase. Maybe you're watching the miniseries now. And the Al Cowlings low-speed chase around Los Angeles. For the next 20-plus years, the 1993 Ford Bronco pretty much vanished. Well, it's been found in a garage in Northern California. This, according to our friend Deborah Norville in Inside Edition. It's today's Inside Edition. Jim Murray will report on a man who owns a car, who says it's only been driven 20 miles since then. I only drove it to church and back. But the White Bronco story on Inside Edition today, if you're interested. I've not seen the O.J. Simpson miniseries yet, have you?
No, I taped it, but I haven't watched it
yet. I keep forgetting it's on.
I kind of do, too. There's so much other
stuff. When are the original episodes? Are they Monday nights?
I think so, yeah.
Used to be so much easier before you millennials.
Nobody knows what time, what day anything is on anymore.
Just set a series recording.
Yeah, I did that.
You still tape stuff, Mary?
Tape? Yes. Tape. Mm-hmm. I call it tape.
There used to be a system where it would be on when it was on and you watched it.
Oh, there still is.
Ridiculous.
And then you missed it and then you were mad.
There's a lot more of it now.
What else happened back in the day, Grandpa?
You give me 8-week-old Abigail, I can have these conversations. She won't question me. Not like you.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Dean Richards live at Channel 9. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
How are you, buddy?
Everything is hunky-dory today, Steve.
Well, that's fantastic. Hunky and dory, always positive. That's a good thing. We have the, I'm still not even sure if it's the mayor or the Chamber of Commerce, probably the same guy from Dixville Notch coming up.
Excuse me?
Dixville Notch, not a painful condition you should seek medical help for.
How did they name that city, I wonder?
It is actually a small town in New Hampshire where people vote first. 9 people live in Dixville Notch. And John Kasich, Governor Kasich, won on the Republican side. And Bernie Grateful Dead Sanders won on the Democrat side.
Bernie Grateful Dead, you say?
Yeah. All right, a couple of things. I saw Beyonce. You saw Beyonce. We all saw Beyonce.
Yep.
I understand that there is some graffiti in the video, the official video. I don't understand the performance firing up Rudy Giuliani the way he did.
He was on Fox yesterday and was just completely outraged that Beyonce, as he put it, would use the Super Bowl as a political platform and an attack on police. Those are his words. Calling it an attack on police. The reasoning behind this, apparently because her backup dancers were wearing black berets a la the Black Panthers from back in the day, and that at a point during the performance formed an X on the field representing Malcolm X, presumably, but the specific anti-police reference is aimed at the official video for Beyonce's new song. She performed the song on the Super Bowl, but the anti-police reference apparently is the video, as you say, in which the words "Stop Shooting Us" appears for about 2 seconds in the video, which is a video that does reference the Black Lives Matter movement. It references Hurricane Katrina. But, you know, overall, if I was going to describe the theme of it, I'm not speaking for Beyonce. It just seems like a statement about who she is. And
an opinion she's entitled to.
Yeah, proud of her heritage, proud to be a woman, and as many artists have done, expressing her opinion about the state of America.
Yeah, and by the way, nobody defends cops more than I do. I'm not offended by anything I saw at halftime, not even Coldplay. I Rudy Giuliani's lost his mind to go off the deep end on this, and I promise you I'm hipper than Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, I mean,
somebody had to explain to him what he thinks he saw and then claims offended him.
Yeah, that's exactly right. To call a graffiti on the wall that says "Stop Shooting Us" anti-police, I don't get the connection. I mean, you know, nobody wants to be shot for no reason. I mean, can't we all agree on that? I don't see how that's anti.
And you could make the argument. You could make the argument as an artist that it's a call out to the black community as well to stop shooting each other. You know, you can make the argument on 100 levels, but how about we just treat it like what it is? It's a video.
Yeah, it's a video. The thing that I found most hilarious about Giuliani's comments about the whole thing is he said that future Super Bowls should, instead of what we got this past Sunday, should be decent, wholesome entertainment. Has he been watching the Super Bowl halftime shows for years and years and years? One that featured Janet Jackson's naked breast? Over the years, and
About the overreaction afterwards, where we had that that Satanist Paul McCartney, and you know, we had two or three years in a row where the acts were, they couldn't have been more mild,
right?
And
giant Rolling Stone tongue. I think we can, you know, read some
settle down, Rudy.
Decadence into that.
Settle down. This is a guy who I think did a tremendous job as the mayor of New York City, who was great on 9/11 and after, and seems to have gone off the deep end since then. Again, the problem is not the people in the middle. The far right and the far left are the problem, and we just got to wrap our heads around that. And I wish people would be screaming about that instead of this.
I have a whole book.
When are you going to elect me? You know, if you elect Dean and I, and by the way, we'll share it. He can be president for a couple of weeks. I'll be president for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. So. Quite the platform. That would be quite the ticket. Quite the ticket.
It'd be entertaining for America.
Because I was offended at Up With People. I remember, you know, back in the day when they used to do the Super Bowl halftime show. That Carol Channing halftime show back in 1970.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
I was offended when Cam Newton kept overthrowing his receivers.
Well, there was that, too.
It's 8:16. We'll come back with more from Dean, including whether or not Sylvester Stallone's going to show up at the Oscars and what Mike Tyson was doing in a St. Louis local plumbing commercial.
This is a good one.
On Super Bowl Sunday.
That's a good one.
How about that? Hey, 8:21, back to Dean Richards. All right, so Stallone... You know, the feeling seems to be, Dean, you can correct us if we're wrong, that Stallone could get one of these Lifetime Achievement Awards in a regular category because, you know, when's he going to get nominated for an Oscar again? And then the question comes up in a movie called Creed with a black director and a black lead. Should he show up at the Oscars? What happened?
Well, he was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for his role in the movie Creed. He was the only actor from that movie, only person, period, to be nominated from the film. And that's one of the films that people are talking about when they're saying categories where African-American actors and the director in this case seem to have been overlooked because they were nominated by every other awards group except the Academy Awards. They have this big luncheon in Los Angeles yesterday for all of the nominees, and Sylvester Stallone was there and saying that originally he was thinking also about boycotting the Oscars because of the diversity issue. He felt strongly about it. But he talked with his director, Ryan Coogler, who is African-American and also did not get a nomination. And Ryan Coogler told him, you should go. You should go and you should represent the film. So apparently he is going to go. Very likely that he's going to win. I would say it's probably very likely that if he does win, he's going to say something on stage because he was, you know, he feels strongly about it, but had some words about this yesterday as well at the Oscar luncheon.
Michael Jordan, you know, every time I looked in his eyes as an actor, I said, he's making me better. I think he should have been given a lot more respect, a lot more attention. I do believe that things will change. It was just a matter of time, and eventually all talent will rise to the top.
Yeah, so, you know, it's the Oscar diversity issue came up again yesterday. The president of the Academy yesterday addressed it. Saying, you know, that's the 800-pound elephant in the room. They're doing their best to try to address it. The producer of the telecast was there yesterday. That luncheon's also where they tell the nominees, you know, keep your speeches short. Apparently this year the people can submit a list of agents and things like that ahead of time that'll run on the bottom of the screen.
Really?
To allow the winners to speak more from their heart instead of just reading from a small piece of paper. So that's going to be kind of interesting.
That's not a bad idea.
It's not a terrible idea. I mean, the people who are in the auditorium won't be able to see it, but, you know, the billions of people watching certainly will.
I'd like to thank my friend Timmy, who in third grade told me, you can do whatever you want in life.
Yeah, I'd rather hear stuff like that than, you know, reading a list of people that the majority of people have no idea who they are, a bunch of Hollywood insiders, so... We're a couple of weeks away from the Oscars. It's the 28th.
Are you going?
I'm not.
But your annual Pick Fest, which is a Chicago favorite, we'll do it here, and you'll also do it on Channel 9, obviously.
On Channel 9, on the Sunday show, probably on Bill and Wendy's show.
And we have the Stevie Awards coming up, coincidentally, later this month as well.
I'll be attending that.
Second annual.
I never miss that.
And explain to me, before we run out of time here, the Mike Tyson story.
So, you know, believe me, nobody is more sick of Super Bowl commercials at this point. But we found one yesterday that we have to give some attention to. It's a commercial for a local plumbing and electrical contractor in the St. Louis area. This commercial ran on the local CBS station in St. Louis only. But it's fantastic. It features Mike Tyson,
and it's everything that's bad about local TV spots, right?
It's so fantastic. I mean, there's a boxing theme to it, but it ends with this jingle.
If you can, we can. Michael and Son.
And is that where he punches the camera?
There's the punch, and then the singing tag.
If you can't, we can. Michael and Son.
Oh, and you got
Michael and Son.
you gotta hear, see the choreography.
Wow, is that
too
terrible?
Because his body movements. Clearly, it must have been take number 76.
That is fantastic.
It's so funny to watch. But Mike Tyson is a nonstop entertainment machine, in my book.
That's fantastic. Thank you for that, Dean. We'll talk to you later.
See you later.
We'll come back with the mayor and the city councilman and the Chamber of Commerce of Dixville Notch, New Hampshire, next on 720 WGN. All right, it's 828. Before we get to the big story and back to Andre in New Hampshire, we have the mayor of Dixville Notch on the phone. This is the tiny town that started voting at midnight last night. 9 people in this town. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Cochran. Thank you very much for having me on your show there.
And your name is?
Neil Tortleson.
Neil Tortleson. And you're the mayor?
I am the mayor of the village council. I also own my own Chinese restaurant, Ho Hum.
What a great name for a restaurant. I love that.
Thank you. We don't actually make Chinese food, but it's good.
All right. So there in Dixville Notch, you only have 9 people?
No, actually, that's a mistake. We're right outside of Coos County, and there are 12 people here. There are only 9 people that can actually vote.
Oh, I see. 9 are eligible to vote.
Correct.
And
right.
This can't be right. I have a note here that said you do polling?
Well, we do. You know, we take 10%. We actually talk to Paulie and just ask him how he's going. That's our 10%.
I see. All right. And then you extrapolate that?
No, we just kind of add it up.
Okay. All right, fine. So in the midst of all of this, you do the vote last night, and I notice you keep track of it just on a whiteboard, just with a marker.
No, that's actually another mistake.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, Corky. First of all, Carol, Ida, Brian, Corky, Willard, Jason, Paulie, and Gladys all meet at the Balsam Ballroom at midnight because it's the only time that we get to stay up that late.
Sure,
and,
yeah.
We don't use a whiteboard because Willard is allergic to the dry erase markers.
All right, okay.
So we now use the big pad of paper that we use for Pictionary once a month.
All right, well, that makes total sense. All right, so in the vote totals that came out after midnight, I know Bernie Sanders was, he got all 9 votes, huh?
No, we got, believe it or not.
Is that another mistake?
Yeah, we got 2 for Adrian Zemed.
Adrian Zemed from T.J. Hooker?
Yeah, and I did not vote for Adrian. I'm not a big fan. I thought it was Eric Estrada anyways. I got it mixed up.
right. So, but this is the Democrat side of things. So Bernie Sanders got 7 and Adrian Zemed got 2.
Seven to two. So technically, Sanders won.
Yes, and on the Republican side?
We stopped.
Well, what do you mean you stopped?
Well, J&W, that's Jason Willard, they have a pot pie parlor, and it just overflowed with chicken and beef.
So you guys decided just to eat.
Well, I was hungry. It's very late for me.
Yes.
You know,
All right. All right, so for people that may be traveling, I know Dixville Notch is in the – by the way, how'd the town get its name?
Well, it's actually based on Corky has the very called gooey ooey sticky buns that he makes.
Uh huh. Yeah.
And it's based on his menu.
I have no idea what that means. So this is Mayor Neil Tortleson.
Neil Tortleson, village head guy. I'm not the mayor.
I'm the village head guy.
Let me be specific about that.
Yes, great. And what is it that you plan on doing for the city in 2016?
Well, not a lot. I'll probably get some sleep.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's Mayor Neil Tortleson from Dixville Notch. It's 8:31. Andrea Darlis running around Manchester, New Hampshire. And she's ready to do the big story right now. Let's go to Andrea. I hate to have you follow that, Andrea, but where are you?
Right now, Steve, I'm at the Webster Elementary School on Elm Street, one of the main drags here in downtown Manchester, home of the Wildcats, Steve. But there's no school today. Obviously, people are lined up out the door. This is one of the biggest polling places here in downtown Manchester. Right in front of the polling places, you know how there's really no electioneering in Chicago? Apparently, there's not really that rule here because there's some Bernie Sanders supporters. There's some Jeb Bush supporters. I actually see a Carly Fiorina sign as well. And, of course, Donald Trump sign being waved up and down right in front of the polling place. I would say that there's probably about 50 people or so in line, and it's really cold. The snow is papered, but, you know, obviously some of the sidewalks haven't quite yet been shoveled yet. So the people are standing in the snow, maybe about ankle deep, waiting in line to vote. So this is very exciting. People here very excited to cast their first ballot. The polls, as you said, in Dixville Notch opened very early this morning, just after midnight. They were done very quickly. But this poll just opened moments ago.
And how many people would you say are lined up outside? I mean, if I'm getting the picture you're painting here, you got people lined up outside, what, all the way to the street?
Yeah, they're lined up. There's probably a good, 30 feet, 40 feet from the school to the street. And then they're lined up from the entrance to the door all the way to the sidewalk, and then maybe about 50 people back, and then you have the street, too. And, of course, there's a throng of reporters here from all over the country. But people are really excited. You know, it's funny when you see the people leaving the polling places in Chicago, at least where I vote, you know, it's just kind of quick in and out, and then you go off to work. But people are here smiling and happy and talking about this. And, you know, I think they're very proud to be hosting the first in the nation primary.
All right, you're going to do a little independent exit polling. Can you talk to the people?
Yeah, absolutely. I just got here a little bit. I would have been here sooner, but I'm telling you, parking, they have the streets blocked off. I know it's a holiday here, but they have traffic cops directing cars where you should park, so I had to park a couple of blocks away in
you
order
can't
to
have
get
that.
Up here.
Good God, you're media. You can't have that.
I know. Oh, there's a Chris Christie sign as well, too. So a lot of the candidates really represented here at the Webster Elementary School on Elm Street. So I'm going to talk to some of the people, Steve, and we'll get some of their reaction, find out who they're voting for.
All right. So Andre will rejoin us with more of that coming up. Coach Q loves the Who. That's why we play it for Coach Q every week when we talk to him here. Coach Q's show is sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint, and really a way of life. Hooters, I'm talking about. And Coach Q, who joins us now. How are you, man?
Doing great. How you doing?
Nice talking to you. Man, what fun Saturday night. I mean, you know, everybody's going message game, message. It just looked like everything we love the Blackhawks about was working on all cylinders.
Well, it was a good start. They score a power play goal about 5 seconds into it. And all of a sudden, you get that part of your game that had been struggling in order. And that we played well. I mean, Crow had some sequence of saves there in the first and second that really kept us in the right place. And I thought a very businesslike, solid game for us. And I exited a perfect road trip that we're very happy with the way we played in all three games. And now we got to go home here and get started again here tonight.
Yeah, four in a row at home. It's got to be nice to be back in the building.
Seems like we've been gone forever.
Isn't that weird?
We had 7-8 on the road with the All-Star break in the middle of it. Seems like we've been away for a long time here from playing in front of our own crowd here. But it's always special here, so hopefully we can recapture that feeling right off the bat.
A ton of games at home, a ton of games on the road. It seems like it's been that way all year, more than other seasons. Am I making that up?
Well, I don't know. It shouldn't be the way other seasons, because, you know, sometimes you get the Olympic break and you're off for 2 weeks and they condense the schedule. And I don't know, but this year was a real heavy December, January schedule. You get the extra day off for Christmas. You get 5 days off for the All-Star break. So maybe an extra day there, and they got to condense it all. But it's it lightens up here February. We're not as busy here going. We got a week off kind of with the one game scheduled on the outdoor game in Minnesota. March gets busier again, but not as bad as the December-January schedule.
This time of year when, you know, guys might have tired legs and a little bit of rest here and there, being home makes a difference, right? Because you know your schedule. I mean, just regardless of being the top athletes in the world, I mean, traveling takes its toll.
I think at some points, you know, that's why we try to back off them as the season progresses, practicing or the length of practices or the intensity of practices. So hopefully, you know, you're staying fresh. And I always find that when you keep the guys away, you get way more energy when they do get back on the ice. So hopefully that we'll keep an eye on certain guys for sure that play a little bit more as well, keeping them off the ice when we can. We do get several practices. We're going into practice. We'll get 2 days off or 3 days off in between games, and we'll see those extra days off in between and monitor those guys to see if we can keep them off the ice 2 days in a row. So it'll be good for us to take advantage of it if we can. You know, we're certainly played more games than anybody in the league, and at some point it's got to balance.
Speaking of balance, seems like the scoring has balanced out a bit. You had that amazing streak from Kane all fall long. It's not like he's cooled off. He's still playing great hockey, and he's still the number one threat on the ice. But Taser's doing more than just scoring in overtime. Hossa's getting a couple. And, you know, it's a nice balance across the score sheet.
Yeah, and our defense is kicking in some offense as well. But I like the balance of our team. I like, you know, the goaltenders. Crow's had a great year. Our defense has been solid. Quietly goes about their business, but can be productive offensively as well as defending well. And now we're seeing much better four-line rotation to our team and more consistency with the line scoring game in, game out. So it's been you know, we had two real good months here, and we'd like to continue on what we built in December and January, took off to a different level. And well, now we got, let's take advantage of this home schedule right now.
You know, Coach Q and I have been friends since we both played together at the Saskatoon hypothermias back in the day. So I've known him. I've known him a long time. I don't think I've ever seen your head explode, though, like I did the other night on that no-goal call. Do we need to get you blood pressure meds? Do we need to do something? What are we doing?
I blew a gasket there for sure. I don't think I've never done that before. Grabbed a stick and banged it like I was upset. Anyways,
yeah, that's the word for it. Upset.
I disagreed with the call and so we moved on. I thought as a team, I think we handled some adversity there because of a two-goal swing that disallowed, and then they scored on the power play. So that was a I lost it for a minute.
Got the team's attention, didn't it?
Well, I didn't need to get the team's attention.
I left Hossa trying to explain it afterwards, you know, and just the coach was upset. Yeah, he was a little bit.
Yeah, he was too. It was his goal.
Do you go back and watch those? Like when I remember talking to Lou Piniella about this, and trust me when I tell you, and I know you're a baseball fan as well. You got nothing on Piniella. Piniella lost his mind as much as anybody, probably this side of Earl Weaver back in, you know, the 80s and 90s and stuff. But when you lose it, you do it in style. Do you ever go back and look at the tape?
No, but I get a lot of people that close to you that say, hey, be careful, Dad. Jeez, I'm worried about you. You know.
Does your wife ever say anything to you? Or she just goes, look, it's his job, whatever.
Oh, my God, or whatever. You're taking it way too serious.
Well, it's your job. That's why you're good at it, man. Let me get Kevin in here. Dave Ennett's on the road with Northwestern basketball. Say hi to Coach Q. And by the way, if this question isn't good, Kev, he'll take that stick out and he'll smack you with it.
I am now worried, Steve. Thank you very much. Coach, you touched on defensemen chipping in on the offensive side. And you look at guys like Van Riemsdyk. He's had a goal and assist in the past couple games. Roosevelt had his first goal of the season. How big is that for your offense when you're getting production from guys that you're normally not relying on to do any scoring?
It certainly helps Kevin when you find you're always going to get some production with Duncan and Hammer but Rosie scores a huge goal for us, a spectacular play 4-on-4, coming off an injury as well, so it's nice to see him get on the score sheet. And I always find Reamer comes up into play at the right times, gives us one more threat offensively from the back end, and he got some finish, but that was a big goal in the same game as Rosie scoring. And Hammer, like a lot of times, makes indirect plays, but those safe plays sometimes can lead to offense when you don't always have to manufacture offense. So it's some different ways of scoring. It really helped the balance, not just defending, but there is some offense to all their games. And I think, doing the right things defensively lead to good things offensively.
Fans come back tonight, and they're going to see the Sharks, and season to season. Sharks and the Blackhawks, always a pretty good matchup. But what do you want them to look out for tonight on the ice from the other bench?
They're dangerous. They're fast. They're quick. Their power play is always dangerous. Their top two lines can score. They're good off their rush. They got an active back end. So it's you got to be ready. We're the best road teams in the league. So there's a lot of things going for them this year, particularly away from home.
I don't know if you're familiar with it. You know, we talk all the time about how great the guys are on the team. And, you know, when you compare it, especially, it's funny, Coach, because today there's a story of a couple of guys in football and a guy in baseball who, you know, were either arrested or about to be arrested and just being knuckleheads. And the quality of guys on this team continues to impress. And there's a Scott Darling story that's out there, which I don't even know if you're familiar with it, but it went viral on the internet about Scott Darling helping a guy out in Phoenix. Do you know the story?
I read it, yeah. It's a pretty amazing story.
It is pretty amazing. An Uber driver was talking about this. He posted it, and it got famous real fast. And Scott Darling is the last guy to ask you to brag about him, and he didn't ask me to mention him at all. But in short, I'd ask you to just Google Scott Darling, and you'll get the story. Basically, a guy that's been going through some really hard times. Scott paid for him to stay at a hotel, get him back on his feet, gave him groceries and helped him out with some cash, and then checked on him constantly. And that's the kind of thing, Coach, that it's all about character. And, you know, the character on this team continues to come through.
Yeah, well, we got some special guys. A very unique story there that, Darryl's had some tough times and had some tough experiences and got to share one with somebody the less fortunate. And hopefully, it turns a bad story into a great story. And that definitely Darryl's story is very comparable of what he had to deal with. So it was a nice gesture.
Yeah, talk about paying it forward, right? I mean, he's a good man.
Perfect.
Coach, have fun tonight.
Thank you very much. Have fun, guys.
Oh, and next time you and I talk, it appears the long-awaited Coach Q mustache night is going to happen. I'll have details next time we talk.
All right. Okay.
Well, don't act like you're less excited. I mean, come on, man.
First I heard of it.
What are you talking about? I brought this up months ago, and now it's finally happening.
Yeah, but I didn't see it. I didn't see a delivery.
You know what? You're right. I can't argue with you. Have fun tonight. See you later.
Thanks, guys.
That's Coach Q, and Mustache Night is coming. I promise you.
The Blackhawks.
Blackhawks Radio.
720 WGN.
Uh-huh. The Steve Cochran Show presents Hawk.
Chicago.
O-pedia.
We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
Hawkopedia.
Hawkopedia term today, Artem Anisimov. Anisimov is in his first year with the Blackhawks and on track to enjoy his finest NHL season. He joined the Blackhawks last summer in the deal which sent Brandon Saad to the Columbus Blue Jackets, where Anisimov spent the previous three seasons after starting his career with the New York Rangers, who made him a second-round draft pick in 2006. Anisimov can't help but be overshadowed by his line mates, Patrick Kane and his rookie countryman, Artemi Panarin. Kane leads the NHL in scoring. Panarin may well be the league's top rookie, but Anisimov's no slouch. Saturday in Dallas, he enjoyed a four-point night, a goal and three assists. He scored a shorthanded goal in the second period to give the Blackhawks a 4-1 lead. He's now tied for fifth on the Hawks with 32 points, tied for third in goals with 18, and he shares the team lead for shorthanded goals with Jonathan Toews, each with three. Anisimov may not have gotten the headlines his two line mates do, but he's getting high marks from Coach Joel Quenneville and his teammates who take on the Sharks at the United Center tonight. And that's our Hawkopedia for today.
You're listening to The Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago on 720 WGN.
Live it after 9, Bill and Wendy at 10. Andrea Darlis live from New Hampshire coming up with a big story again. She's at one of the polling places in New Hampshire, voting underway in the New Hampshire primary. At 9:11, let me get John DeCoste, musical director, back in here. And you have a special song for our guest other than the one we just heard?
Yeah, we have been talking about this for a long time, so we finally put together a little theme song for our very, very dear.
You're
going to
perform
David
this live?
No, this is studio.
This is recorded.
This is recorded.
The David Hawk. This is the only time we've ever done this for David, right?
Yeah. It's the first time. Yes.
Is this because he fixed you financially? Is this why you felt guilty and decided he needed to do this?
All of that is true.
Yeah. But not relevant at this point?
Yes.
Okay. Here's Hochberg's song.
We got bills, they're multiplying, and our credit scores are low. I can't believe we cannot refi. We just don't qualify. You better wise up, cause we need a plan. Those folks at Pearl know what to do. You better call now. And get that Hochberg man. What he says we know is true.
Call him now, that's what to do.
You can ask him right now. 720. You can ask him right now. 720. You can ask him right now. 720 is what we need. Oh, yes, indeed.
Well done.
Simple, I know.
Well, that's simple. So, come on.
You're amazing, right. Olivia Newton-John.
That is tremendous. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
nice heels.
That was great. Thank you.
Really well done.
Thank you very much.
By the way, there's a whole backstory to the recording session, which I'm sure he may have shared
with
you.
Yes, he did. And that's my wife's favorite movie, by the way, and favorite song in the movie. So,
well, that's great.
And it was amazing how you got that.
This will be your ringtone now as soon as 10 o'clock?
Exactly.
Yeah. David Hochberg's here, and if you want to get a hold of Hochberg, what do you do?
Give me a call, 312-751-1333. Go to wgndavid.com. and all my contact information there. Can I just get something off my chest real quick? I've been coming in for 2 years now, three years. We've known each other.
I've been back for 2.5. I've known you for 20.
Right, but in studio with you, and you've been doing this.
You know why we're still friends? Because I've never asked for help.
I understand that all your friends have asked.
My friends have asked for help. You just took care of my sister, which is very nice of you.
Her loan, yes, and yeah. Want to make sure
my mom's listening.
Just want to make sure. Yeah, I got it. My wife's listening.
Okay,
I've been carrying something with me for 2 years.
You're an idiot.
I am, and I admit to that.
Uh-huh.
And you know, you ask Obradovich, you got Desvlante, Skilling about their puck in their pants,
uh-huh.
And I've been.
Oh no.
Yeah.
No. Look away, Mary. Mary, look away.
Game puck. This is in my pants for 2 years.
You've been carrying it around?
I've been carrying it around for 2 years. You've never asked me, what do I have in my pants?
Let me tell you something right now. I don't want that. I'm not going to ask you that. You know what? Hand that to John. John will take care of it.
That's all right.
But thank you very much.
Fresh
for your
wave. I fresh wave it every night.
Oh, not enough.
To keep
There's
it.
There's not enough fresh wave. Yes.
Pass the puck.
It's a lot. Yes. It's a lot more comfortable now. Thank you.
I bet it is.
It had
to be uncomfortable. No wonder you're so cranky. You've been sitting on that for 2.5 years.
That's the problem.
Unbelievable. All right, let's talk about something really important to people.
Sure.
Even more important than the puck in your pants.
Yeah, I'll feel great. Thanks.
The FHA Modernization Act.
Yes.
What is it?
It's huge. I get a call, no joke, at least one call a week from WGN listeners wanting reverse mortgages that live in condos. And right now, FHA, in their own infinite genius wisdom, did something so ridiculously bad about 5-7 years ago. They did away with their FHA spot approval, condo approval. Now, all the condos have to be FHA approved because it's an FHA product in order to get a loan. Most of the condos have their heads up their wahoos and let their FHA approvals go, or they're bigots and they don't want to get FHA approval because they don't want those type of people living in their condos, okay, even though they're already living there. Bottom line is this. There is a bill going through Congress right now. It has already passed the House.
H.R. 3700.
We need to pick up the phone and call Senator Kirk and
Senator Durbin.
And Durbin, yeah, the other guy. We got to call Senator Durbin and Senator Kirk. Senior Senator Durbin, who I met a couple of years ago. Right, big fan of his. And tell both their staff that you support H.R. 3700, which is the Opportunity Through Modernization Act, which will change FHA rules that will allow condominiums to become FHA approved a lot more easier than they are right now.
Okay, can I just amend that one? Can I amend your plea?
You could do whatever you want.
H.R. 3700 is House Resolution 3700.
House Resolution.
Let's have you, instead of calling Durbin and Kirk.
It's already passed the House. It's now in the
it's
Senate.
It's through the House?
It's through the House.
Okay, all right.
The House. So that's why it's in the Senate now.
All right.
And we got to
I have no amendment then.
You have no well. You're Steve Cochran. You could do whatever you want.
No, I'm not amending. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't still in the House.
It's already gone through the House. It's passed through the House. Okay. We got to get it through the Senate. So we got to call Durbin. And we got to.
Doesn't make any sense that you could take care of your house, but you couldn't take care of your condo. That's ridiculous.
It's so backwards. It's not even funny. It's not even worth trying to understand how ridiculously backwards it is. But it's killing the condo market and anybody that owns a condo. You should be 100% behind this, especially if your parents live in a condo.
If people are pushing against this, what would the reason be? In other words, if somebody in the Senate wants to block this, what would their argument
ignorance
be?
Ignorance and just pure stupidity because it doesn't hurt anybody.
Okay.
It helps the housing market.
And so. that should be the Senate's goal.
It should be the Senate's goal.
Everybody's H.R. 3700, Kirk and Durbin would both be very happy to get your emails and your texts.
Please fire
and
off.
And your phone calls.
Exactly.
All right. Now, whenever we do your commercials, there's always a story to tell. Oh, there's a million stories in the city, aren't there?
Oh, every day.
All right.
So my phone's ringing, so thank you.
So monetary manipulation.
Yes. I changed the M word because I don't want to get in trouble.
I understand.
Yes. Met with a couple last night. Okay. Husband has a 620 credit score, loaded with debt. Wife has got 750 credit score, sold their home a year ago. They've got $60,000 sitting in cash.
Wait, before I go any further, here's a question I get all the time. When I get married, do we have one credit score? The answer is no.
Absolutely
you will have
not.
Two.
You will have two credit scores.
Right.
You will have your credit scores and the male credit score, the husband's credit score, the wife's credit score, if you're same-sex marriage, whatever. Okay, so he had a 620, she had a 750. I met him at Barnes & Noble over in Oak Brook last night at the Starbucks, okay? Husband wanted to put 20% down. I said, that's great there, bud. You want to put 20% down, guess what? You've got $1,188 worth of debt between a credit card, a car loan, and a boat loan. You want to put 20% down, go right ahead. You're renting for another year because you don't qualify to buy a home.
Now, back this up. This is a $280,000 house?
$280,000
loan.
No, $280,000 purchase.
All right, so 20% down is $56,000.
56 grand. He's got 60 in the bank. So he wanted to put down 60 grand.
Okay.
And they didn't qualify because of their car loan, the credit card debt, and the boat loan. So I said, listen, give me 40 grand of your money. Okay, right. Just give me $40,000. I'll eliminate $1,188 worth of debt. Your credit scores will shoot through the moon because you've eliminated $40,000 worth of credit card debt and installment loans. And I go, now you could get into a house with 3.5% down with an FHA loan. He didn't believe me. So I took out my, I whipped out my computer. I showed him, I'm like, here are the numbers. Okay, you don't qualify doing it your way, putting less down, paying off debt.
And paying off the expensive debt.
Reduces their monthly payment by $860 a month.
Because the more they carry that debt, the higher percentage rate they're
going to have. Exactly. Right. And they transfer it into a mortgage that's over 30 years and it's better debt. They're saving $860 a month and enables them to buy a home.
Now, the $40,000 in debt that was costing them $1,188 a month, you're saying you eliminated that.
Gone. Right. They're going to take 40 G's out of the 60 grand in cash, pay off the debt.
You're an evil genius.
I try.
So right there is 15 grand a year they're saving.
800. Well, no.
Well, it's 1188 a month.
No, because they 1188 a month, but their mortgage payment went up, so they were saving $860 a month by rolling it into their mortgage. Okay. So 860 times 10 is 10 grand. Right. Yeah. So 11. It's almost 11 G's. And, you know, the husband's looking at me like, you know, this can't be true. I'm like, you've heard me on the radio before. He's like, every day driving home. I'm like, what did you expect? Okay. I'm like,
let me ask you a question. Because Superman hangs out in phone booths and he can't find phone booths anymore. Are you just in Starbucks?
I'm at Starbucks at the Barnes & Nobles in Oakbrook.
Starbucks with a cape waiting for people to come in doubting you?
I never saw a man this shade of yellow when I met him. I'm like, I thought we'd have to get the CPR panels
out. Right.
Because I thought you were going to pass out. I'm like.
But then you made him happy.
Then I made him happy. Started smiling. Okay. I'm like, you want me to pat you on the head and rub your tummy and now tell you everything's going to be okay?
You brought up something there in the middle of a typical David Hochberg calm, even-keeled story. And that was how fast credit ratings jump. Because people think, well, if my credit gets restored, it's going to take forever.
No.
If you do what you suggest for people, if people listen to you, in other words,
right,
and they do what you ask them to do, how fast are we talking about changing credit scores?
96 hours. If he got me two payoff letters.
People walk around. People walk around for years.
Yes.
Going, oh, I'm so ashamed. I got 600. I got 550 credit, whatever. I can't do anything. You could change your world in 4 days.
4 days. He told me that somebody told me that I should keep $21,000 on my credit card that was costing him $588 a month. I'm like, well, who told you that? Some guy I hired. I'm like, well, he's an idiot. I'm like, stop hiring him. I'm like, I'm having a cup of coffee and a cookie with you at a Starbucks in Oak Brook. I'm like, take the 21 G's and pay it off and stop listening to this guy. What are you doing?
By the way, Jim Cramer just called and said you need to settle down.
Okay, thank you.
It's 9:21. We'll take a break, come back. More with Hochberg in a second on 720 WGN. Again, this is from John DeCoss for Hochberg.
We got bills, they're multiplying, and our credit scores are low. I can't believe we cannot refi. We just don't qualify.
From the 708, is there anything John can't put a song to? That was awesome. From the 815, I love that song. Let's see. From the 920, David, if I married a tree, would I still have two credit scores?
It's a type of tree that they marry because 920 is Wisconsin and it is a communal state. So we do have to count the credit of the spouse, even though the spouse isn't on the loan.
Dutch Elm? Would Dutch Elm be better?
That's solid. Yeah, that's a great tree to marry.
All right, so general questions as we go into the second month of the new year in the midst of a presidential election and an election year.
Yeah.
What are you hearing a lot of?
I'm hearing a lot that people are scared to death of losing their job still. I'm hearing a lot. Well, it's not hearing. I talk to people every day that if you make 100 grand a year and you're 50 or above, you're in very, very thin ice. And you know, you're a couple of days away from not having a job because, you know, they're always looking to replace you with somebody cheaper and younger. And it scares the hell out of the 50-year-olds and up.
Yeah, if you're making 100 grand and you're 50, you should be at a comfortable point in your life.
You would think. Right. But not now. I mean, it's thin ice, and people are scared to death because they see companies paring back and eliminating divisions and eliminating jobs, and they're talking to the people that they graduated high school and college with that just got knocked off. And people are scared to death out there. And we've been talking about this for a while. Yeah, the unemployment number is under 5%, and you could monkey around with that number all you want. But when you mess around with the denominator, which means you don't count all the people that have fallen off the rolls that have stopped looking for jobs.
Looking for jobs, yeah.
Right? You can make your number look as good as you want. The problem is that these people are still carrying, the general listening public is still carrying $20,000 to $40,000 worth of debt. Now their home values have come back. I don't care if you think it's right or not right to pay off debt by using your equity. We just closed a ladies' loan in Buffalo Grove, saved $2,000 a month paying off over $50,000 worth of debt. She's doing backflips, and she's got a bad back. Okay, so it's life changing. So you got to get ahead of it and prepare for the next collapse and next downturn, because you never know when it's going to be.
And student loans, the probably the greatest threat bubble.
It's
that there is. You guys work with folks on that too.
We advise people to call up their provider that has it. See if you could qualify for the income based reduction program. Also, private student loans. We're recommending people go to SOFI.com, SOFI.com. If you have good credit, good income, they will refinance your private loans. And sometimes maybe
didn't they have a Super Bowl commercial?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
It's called SOFI.
SOFI. It's private money. It's based out of San Francisco. Probably that's why they started advertising, because it was, the Super Bowl was
pronounced Sophie or
S-O-F-I. S-O-F-I.
It's probably SoFi.
SoFi. You could pronounce it any way you want.
You're in the finance business. Wouldn't it be SoFi?
Yes. Yes. For this show, it's SoFi.
What's the matter with you?
Well, a lot of things. And we don't have enough time right now to go over all the things. I've got my psychiatrist in the green room right now for my 9 o'clock.
So. Travels with you?
Yes.
That's
yes.
Excellent. Well, there's a nice couch in there.
Yeah, it's great.
And for people who want to get a hold of David Hochberg, and please, all we ask, and I tell you this for two reasons. I ask you to listen to him because he knows what he's talking about. And I ask you also to listen to him because if you do, he'll stop yelling at me.
Yeah. I talk loud. It's not yelling.
So the way to get a hold of you again is how?
You could go to WGNDavid.com. That is the website, the webpage, whatever.
What if I just want to call you?
You can. 312-751-1333. You could also call my cell phone, which you have, because if you want to call
me. I can give that out if you want.
Right, 773-456-6526. I was born on Christmas 1966. And I've got a Facebook page, David Hochberg Pearl Morgan. I got 977 likes. I've been trying for like 6 months to get to 1,000.
I'll get the man to 1,000
So if
likes.
I could get another 23, that would really be great to get me.
How loud are the voices in your head? Are they really loud?
Multiple voices, okay. And it's like a cavern in there. It echoes all the time, and medication doesn't help.
One last question from the 630. I have a short sale that should be coming off my credit this month. How do I do that? Can I call you, David Hochberg?
Yeah, sure. Call me 312-751-1333. Email, go to WGNDavid.com. You could send an email directly from there. David@pearldavid.com is my email address. Short sales, a lot of new rules came out affecting short sales of what you can do and can't do. A lot of people miss mortgage payments prior to the short sale, so that impacts what you can do. Mm-hmm. A lot of people after a short sale have gone into a tunnel, has gone into a cave and don't believe in credit because they got burned so bad, which is the worst thing you want to do when you're trying to rebuild
your
credit. And
again, there are a million ways to fix your credit rating, and there's almost always a way to start, but I think the thing you need to take away from, in a lot of cases, you can turn your world around in 4 days, 96 hours.
96 hours.
Yeah. You should write something called 96 hours.
I should write a lot of things.
I should do it right now.
Right.
Okay. It's 9:30. David Hochberg.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice to see you, dude.
Good seeing you.
Back after this on 720 WGN as we go back to New Hampshire, where Andrea Darlis is talking to voters.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
Rowan Anna this afternoon. 3 o'clock, Bill and Wendy coming up at 10. We get Vice President of Technology, Russ Cochran, in here. If I go to YouTube.com and I want to search John DeCause videos, what do I type in the search bar?
The search bar, you can type in Today in DeCause.
Today in DeCause. How am I spelling DeCause?
DACOSSE.
All right. So I'm going to do that now as we welcome John DeCause back in. John, we set up this YouTube channel for you in the hopes that you would become YouTube famous.
Right.
And so famous, you'd leave the show.
Yeah. Do you want me to leave the show as a plus for me, or is this just because you don't really care for me?
I don't think you should question it.
Oh, what was I thinking? Why shouldn't I question?
Here's some of the videos that John has posted to his YouTube channel, doing Legos with a little kid, playing piano, not like Billy Joel, having toast with your dog, not being able to find the right remote. What is this one? Steve is late.
That was one of the first ones we made. That was one of the first ones we made.
Oh, this was at the comedy show on New Year's Eve. Yeah. I wasn't late. Sure didn't start without me, did it?
Well, if you watched the video, you'd notice that you weren't late, and we thought you were. Okay. We assumed you would be.
I don't know where that comes from.
Yeah.
On hold with customer service. That's a spine tingler. That's tense.
Yeah, you don't know how that's going to end.
Yeah.
You do not know.
There's a gymnastics one here, which is incredible. I didn't know you were a tumbler.
Yeah.
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 Safe exercising, Thanksgiving unplugged, and on and on. Oh, that's not you.
That's not me.
Oh, okay. Yes. Those videos, that library continues to expand.
Yeah, we just keep adding them every day, every other day. And my goal is to get 1 million videos and to get 1 penny per video. Is that right? Is that the math?
Yeah, it'd be $10,000.
So I'm looking to get 10. I should ask for more money.
You probably should. These videos are pointless, just like most of the internet. And if you'd like to see them, go to todayindacause@youtube.com. Or could you link it through my social?
That's a great idea. That's why I've done it.
Okay.
Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show and @CochranShow on Twitter.
Can we play my theme for the YouTube? I wrote that one, too.
Well, we were going to until you tried to direct the show.
Oh, come on. What do you remember? $10,000 for 1 million videos.
But yeah, you have to pay your videographer, don't you?
$10,000?
Yeah.
I'm back to even.
Least.
Yeah.
Who is that lucky person, by the way?
Who is shooting?
Christy Vaccari.
Oh, Christy's good.
Christy.
Yeah, Christy's very good. John has recorded a song for... Wow, you know, I just never realized what an egomaniac you are. You're actually singing a song about you. Yeah, wasn't the whole premise of this as music director for the show? You do songs.
Well, I'm telling you, I was at a Starbucks in Oak Brook.
Oh, that's Hockberg. That was somebody else entirely. Here we go. This is John singing about his YouTube channel.
Oh, oh, I will go far now.
Oh, oh,
a great big star now.
YouTube made John DeCause a big star. YouTube made John DeCause a big star.
DACOSSE.
Oh, 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 oh.
It's really fantastic. But then again, I have low standards. It's 9:46. We'll come back. This is 720 WGN.
Don't stop until the break of dawn. I'm singing.
Many, many stories that didn't make the show today. Looks like the state of Michigan has approved a governor recall petition. This all relates to the Flint water crisis, but Governor Rick Snyder looks like he is going to be fighting a recall election coming sometime soon. Here's a few more headlines. The newest dessert craze in New York are cinnamon roll stuffed donuts. Donuts stuffed with cinnamon rolls. Cinnamon roll stuffed donuts.
How do you do that?
Why do you do that?
Why wouldn't you do that?
It tastes really good if you could figure it out.
Yeah.
Another Michigan story. A bill criminalizing two forms of sex is passed in the Michigan Senate. Those two forms of sex, I'll leave you to figure those out on your own. One's more common than the other. Neither one of them really fit the bounds of against the law, unless you're apparently living in the Michigan Senate.
And take a look at your junk.
Monica Lewinsky making news as she continues to fight cyberbullying. She has come up with a series of emojis. I know that sounds ridiculous, but if you check it out, it's actually a legitimate story. Peter Cetera will not play with Chicago at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction as that fight now goes into its, third decade?
Yeah.
Fourth decade? You can buy a lock of John Lennon's hair online for $12,000 with a certificate that says it was actually his hair.
I just wrote a song about that.
Congratulations. We're not going to have time to get to it at this point, though. I apologize. Tammy Duckworth in her race against Mark Kirk outraced all of her Senate rivals in 2015. And Duckworth and the Duckworth campaign are welcome here, as are Senator Kirk anytime as that continues on. That's a race we haven't talked much about, but you're going to hear a lot about between now and the fall. U.S. athletes are urged to consider not going to the Olympics in Rio if you fear the Zika virus. In other words, if you are female and are pregnant or plan on, you wouldn't be pregnant now, it'd be tough to compete in the summer. But if you plan on getting pregnant, the Zika virus is a great danger to the baby to be born. And until we figure out what's causing it or come up with a vaccine, the U.S. Government is saying you probably shouldn't go, with full understanding that it's a personal choice. And if you spend, oh, I don't know, your entire life training for it, and now a mosquito is going to get in your way, that's a tough thing to take into consideration.
And it's going to take a long time to get that vaccine.
Absolutely. And Diane Sawyer would talk with one of the mothers of the Columbine killers. Sue Klebold has written a book about being the mother of Dylan Klebold. And that interview will air later this week on ABC. But the one story that stands out that we didn't get to this morning is a man was killed by a meteorite. This is in India. One person killed, three others injured. There is no written historic reference that can be verified of anyone being killed by a meteorite for centuries. I don't know where your spirituality is, but if you believe that we all have a time, and that time comes up at some point, what did you do to get hit by a meteorite? What did this guy do? It's 9:54. We'll come back, have Andrea wrap it up in New Hampshire next. Bill and Wendy coming up on 720 WGN. Nice job by you in New Hampshire. Anything as far as a takeaway goes in the past couple of days, other than you met a lot of delightful people as we did in Iowa?
You know, I really did. I love the fact, I mean, the people are great. I just talked with a dozen people who were leaving the polling place at the elementary school. They take it very seriously. I can't say enough about the people of New Hampshire. And I love the accessibility of the candidates, too, with the exception of Trump, who had the big rally yesterday. You know, most of these events that I went to, the candidates are there. They're accessible. You could go up and talk to them. You know, selfies are a big thing right now, and doing that sort of thing, getting autographs. But I've really enjoyed the experience. It's been great. I have to say thanks to all of our friends at ABC News, Josh and Kevin, and Vic and Ryan back at the station, and Ross, too, for all their help. And without them, it wouldn't have been possible. But this has been quite an experience, and I'm really anxious to see what the results are after the numbers start pouring in tonight, Steve.
Well, remember, your mini poll said it's a hodgepodge of everything, and it could go anywhere. The polls that people have paid attention to from WMUR in New Hampshire and the newspapers there still seem to indicate it's a Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump thing. But I like your Lincoln Elementary poll better because it's more fun.
Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah, the Andrea Darlis informal elementary school poll as they were leaving. But how about a hodgepodge, though? We had Fiorina, we had Carson, we had Hillary, we had Bush. And they were all there, so I think this is going to be a really interesting night. This'll definitely, we'll see a lot of people stay in. We'll see a lot of people leave, too.
And decent weather in the Manchester area?
Yeah, sunny skies right now, so it's great.
Okay. Well, travel safely. You, depending on when you get back tomorrow, flights and all that, you may or may not be on the show, but at the bare minimum, we'll see you Thursday, and we can break it down then.
I look forward to it. I miss you guys.
Nice job. How about a hand for Andrea? Way to go, Andrea.
I miss you guys.
Nice job.
I'll bring you some swag, and I'll bring you some granite.
Okay, yes. Yes, bring us some granite for the Granite State. Well done. Minute before 10, Bill and Wendy are here. Or should say Wendy's here. Bill's wandering around. Has Bill wandered off again, Wendy?
He does that every once in a while.
Yes. Yeah, it's sad.
He's back.
But I'm untethered.
The good thing is, at your age, that you're still active.
Yeah, I'm still active. Thank you, Steve.
Yes, it's true. How are you guys?
Fantastic.
Excellent.
Yeah, good.
Thanks.
Good. I like your attitude. What are you doing today?
Fantastic things.
Adam Kimball is a guy who is going to run from California to New York in 45 days, coast to coast.
Is anybody chasing him? Or?
No one's. I don't think anyone's chasing him. No.
Fundraiser?
Yeah.
Yes.
We're going to find out all about it. Okay. We like to be surprised with our guests.
Yes.
Nobody's more surprised than Bill and Wendy.
That's our slogan. We're shocked, so should you be.
All right, well, enjoy the day, and we'll come back and do this again tomorrow, and then you guys will come back and do your thing.
It's like a cycle.
It happens every day. You can't be stopped, really.